Right, took it to our podcast. I'm gonna stop keeping track of episodes because now with the special ones I can't keep them straight. Back with my dudes, Matthew and Trislet, on the heels of another awesome, unique whip from a big old sponsor, Maker's Place. We got a couple cool things coming up, a lot of behind the scenes work going on with the Metalympics that we can potentially tease out. We got a big whip coming up again with non-fun gerbils and another big one right after that, that both of them should be totally unique experiences with Mark Render. And Matthew and I had the opportunity to meet with him and pop into his parcels this past week. So a lot of really, really cool shit coming up. Excited to dive into it. I got some another cool event I wanted to kick your guys' way that I have signed myself up for, and I'm going to try and drag your asses with me. But it's all good stuff. So what have you guys been up to? What was the fallout from the big Maker's Place whip on your guys' end? It seems like I hadn't seen Jose Delbo say much of anything on social media until after the event. And now I just constantly see his Twitter feed talking about like how grateful he was and thanking everybody. And it seems like in terms of pulling a big name artist into, you know, the crypto art scene, it was mission accomplished by every metric. What'd you guys hear?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the numbers and the volume that we drove towards Maker's Place during the event, and bear in mind, like the whole event was supposed to be connected with the DCL event and drop over there. But because of the DCL build being a little bit delayed in terms of construction being finished, the whip was kind of like it was like a stopgap between the whip and the DCL event. So by the end of the whip had driven about half of all sales, so around $1,000 to Maker's Place for the works that had been released up until that point. So like 9 of the 10 like Wonder Woman limited edition pieces, the Krypton one was an ongoing auction which finished up over the weekend, so that doesn't count. But about 50 of the tokenized comic books, like half of those came from folks who are at the whip. So again, we just highlighted back-to-back weeks how the whip is, in my mind, like the preeminent platform for drops. I was speaking about it with Danny afterwards, and he's definitely going to be looking at the whip as like a partner for future drops, since they really want to start pushing the drop as another part of their ecosystem. So I was really, really happy with the action that went on there. Again, like the week prior, we had Syncos's drop. So I was worried maybe people's ETH wallets were a little tapped out, but no, I mean, ETH keeps rising. So maybe that had something to do with it. But I thought it was an awesome post show event. And I mean, again, just like another solid, solid speaker session right before that. So maybe that helped.
Yeah, that was a really exciting one. I was excited for that one because it was hilarious. Where I was talking to somebody, I don't remember who, but I was like, holy cow, Jose's resume is basically my damn childhood. All the stuff he's worked on, and then the artwork. I'm like, oh my god, I have to have these, you know. And then I'm like, man, it's funny because we've talked about that with the crypto community and a lot of this whole scene. There, it's a lot of technical folks. I mean, predominantly, you know, people probably mid 30s, 40s ish. I don't know. It'd be really interesting to see stats like that. Cause I'm like, you know, as far as pulling a famous, you know, relatively or not, whatever famous artist in, it's like, he's a perfect example of one that's going to like hit the nostalgia heartstrings, like our core crowd, really, when you think about it.
Yep. Yeah, no, you're right, man. That was a great call on Maker's Place or whoever found him. You're 1,000% right on that. I'm going to take issue with Matthew's metrics just to play the other side of the fence. We were like debating this over the weekend or whatever. And I feel like they're very conservative, and we are basically going off of the best way to use these metrics, and Matthew, you know, did put them together like properly and everything. But I honestly feel like there are a lot of intangibles that we bring to the table beyond that. And I was an example of someone who, you know, attended with one ETH address and paid for in another. So people who might not have bought that, but, you know, were funneled into Maker's Place and may have bought other things or are now like long-term Maker's Place clients. So I was really, really thrilled to even to hear like the conservative metrics. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I just feel like these events bring so much more to the table with something like this rather than just like straight, you know, corresponding ETH address to the numbers and everything. But we are working with like the best shit that we've got to work with, and it's not that easy to track. And this seems to be like one of our biggest flexes yet, as in terms of just like setting up the drop. Well, actually, maybe this is a good segue for me to like drop the news on you guys. So I've been in contact with Pranksy over the weekend, and he we're gonna, I don't know how we're gonna do this thing or I'm gonna do this thing. We're taking a Rizzle road trip or some shit over to his Pranksy land, and he's gonna do that parcel drop where all these artists have created unique crypto voxels parcels. I think like a lot of money, like. Put his baseline price at some shit like 40 ETH or something like this. So this has the potential to be like an absolutely massive event. And I want to make sure it is absolutely massive, and honestly wanted to sort of strategize with you guys to figure out whether this should be a standalone event. It certainly has legs of its own in terms of like the star power behind it and, you know, promotional power behind it. Or should this be some sort of like pivoting off the whip, like you know it wouldn't even be like an after party, it would be like the next thing directly after the whip and an event in itself. So yeah, wanted to put my heads together with you guys, but as soon as Pranksy contacted me, I was like, yes, I'm gonna make sure this thing happens, and I'll figure out the details later, but I absolutely want in on this project and to make it fucking gigantic. But what are your guys' like initial thoughts? Because this is sort of like a different angle than we've been doing. But again, the power of the whip showing up, like people want to, you know, have a big event and make a big scene for their thing. And we're the people, right?
You know, it's interesting because that, well, okay. It could be really, I could see Rizzle Power pushing it beyond, you know, what he could do. But it's funny because Pranksy's name also carries a lot, just if nothing else, just because he's well known and he's on Twitter everywhere and he talks to people and he spends a lot of money on projects and gets in early. You know, so a lot of people in the area, in the ecosystem, know him. I'm not sure how well known he is outside the crypto ecosystem, though. So that's sort of, you know, when you're talking about, like, say, what is Token Smart? What is the whip? What is whatever, you know, whatever you're trying to push, what do you bring to the table? That's what you bring to the table on this side, you know? So I feel like him alone, he could probably get some traction just because I've seen him do some other stuff fairly well. But I guess, yeah, we should probably, I don't know if you have any details about what he's actually planning on doing. Is it just like an artist expo, or is he actually trying to sell the whole area to a new owner? Is he trying to sell off individuals? You know,
I should have backtracked. So he has 10, I'm not even like super familiar with the project. I've sort of caught bits and pieces of it and then like wrapped up this conversation with him like briefly last night with the intent on getting back to him and working out the details. But he has 10 killer artists who have created crypto voxels, who have built on crypto voxels plots, and they're going to be auctioning off the entire plot as a piece of art. So a lot of money's got, like, for example, one sick build that's going to be auctioned off in its entirety. And there are, I believe, 9 other builds of similar capacity. And I agree with you 1,000%. Pranksy's name carries a lot of weight in its own right. But this goes back to what we were saying before. Like, he wants an event, but he doesn't want to host it. He doesn't want to organize it. He doesn't want to market it. He wants professionals to do it, you know, for lack of a better word, or maybe that is the better word. And so that's why he reached out to me, because he wants, you know, a proper event. And while Pranksy's name carries a lot of weight, and rightfully so, you know, he's not an event coordinator. So that's basically where we're at with it. I got to get a lot more details, and, you know, we'll circle back with you guys as I gather more details and we can figure out our best play. But it's just cool that this has become the thing that people are now finding us for. And every opportunity is like sort of like related to previous ones. But the most exciting part for me is that every single one of these things is like totally different too, even though it's in the same like vein. Like this this thing with non-fun gerbils is going to be awesome and unlike things previously, but has built upon them. Same thing with this Mark Render thing, just like so much cool shit.
Yeah, with the Pranksterland thing, they, from what I gathered, he has like over 20 artists who have been designing and building out their own like mega parcels. So it's not just like the exterior, they're really pimping these things out from the inside as well. And like one by one, they'll auction them off. I mean, this sounds like it could be like a whole whip event in and of itself, which would then like highlight maybe some of the builds. That obviously wouldn't be time to go through all 20 of them. I'm not sure how he wants to stagger the auction. If he like sets it off all at one time, I mean, that'll be crazy. In either event, like I don't think you will be able to finalize the auction like in the post whip like events slot, right? But it would be a great way to feature some of the like kickoff auctions that'll start, really show off their real value and that people would see like how crazy they are, especially like I really want to see the A Lot of Money builds, Devil build, yeah. Trippy Yogi's builds in there, Cody's there. Like there's all these crazy Myth Space, like all these people who are just fantastic builders. Like I can't even imagine what they look like. Yeah, it's going to be massive. It's going to be absolutely massive.
Well, dude, maybe that is the event. The whole event is literally just, you know, 5 minutes a parcel going through each one, and then we just push everyone to the next one and just
bring
people a taste of everything.
Yeah. And just kick it off for, I mean, sounds like a whole weekend of auctions that would be going on. I mean, that's my gut feeling. Something similar to like the one of one Delbo piece that kept going until Sunday when Will Shark scooped it up for like 24 and a half ETH. It seems like some of these plots are going to fetch a pretty penny, but it'll take a little bit of time and it'll definitely be a long burn as opposed to like the short, sweet auctions that we've done for like Syncos or No Shot. For example, and then even Maker's Place for the tokenized comics and the limited edition set.
It's interesting, you know, from a just because I've been in the, I remember coming into Decentraland like 3 years ago, talking to people in the community and stuff like that. And it was the whole point is it's the same thing where you like, you buy this parcel and it's like, okay, well, you said I'm going to make money off it. I'm like, well, you could sell it, or, you know, you could actually do something with it. Right. And I'm like, but it's been 3 years at this point, and it's like I've seen some people doing some really innovative, cool stuff, but I haven't seen people like, I bought this, had this specific idea, I built it up, and then I was like, now I've got this bundle, and now I want to sell this bundle. This, you know, just like you would in real life, a real life real estate transaction, right? Yep, we built this house. I lived here. I added a couple of rooms to it, so now the value's up, and now I'm going to sell it, right? Because I put in the effort and the time and the money to get it to this point. I'm like, that's what I was. I don't know, like that's what I'm picturing in my head. You know, I've been thinking this could, you know, when is this going to come? And maybe this is like a great starting point of this is what it was originally designed for. So I'm excited for that. That's really cool.
I got to say, I'm not a huge fan of like the long burn auctions. And I they're just sort of like anticlimactic at the end of the whip and everything. And that's probably just for like selfish reasons. I love to just like tie it all up in a nice bow and it's just like, bam, sold out. You know what I mean? You can go to bed knowing that or whatever. The long burn is sort of like, I don't know, just it felt like so open-ended, and it's probably the right play in order to like maximize profits or whatever, but it's just so exciting when some of the auctions are ending like in real time and you're watching the bidding wars. Didn't you say something, Matthew, like something to the extent of like bidding wars are like the new esports, or watching bidding wars the new esports or some shit?
No, totally. And then right after that, Green Giant came in. He was like, only for the mega rich. And I'm like, actually, like, I think the real play is to do these community based bidding wars, like what we did with Syncos's in particular. I feel like that is the winning formula. It's just we need more designers and more folks that are going to go down that lane and then hold those auctions and experiment with that format. Like, Pranksterland, like this auction sounds awesome, but again, like this is going to be for the whales. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to frame it, just because of the firepower that he has going into it. And like power to them. Like, they're going to make bank off of this. But the most exciting part is for these smaller scale community focused bidding wars that pop up, where everyone can basically walk away a winner for like $5 to $25, maybe $50, $100, like that kind of range, like things that are definitely more approachable for the minnows and like salmon or whatever the categories are below whale.
Yeah, Unknown Misery, you listening, dude? We were like scheming with him on ways to get his project off the ground. He was talking about making, you know, micro NFT, you know, sponsorships and stuff like that. And I feel like you're exactly right, man. And to be fair, watching the whales like duke it out is sort of exciting. Maybe I'm just like a super fan or like just a, you know, big dork in this space or something. But I can't compete, but I do take pleasure in that. But I think you're absolutely right, man. I mean, a run of like a Cinco's thing was like a perfect example, right? Everything was like reasonably affordable. There were like a couple higher end things, and he probably could have put out 50 shirts at that price and they would have all gone as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I also think that's the play, and it is like really exciting to like, I don't know, come away with something or feel like you've won something or beat out a friend, even if it's for like $5 or $6, and mm-hmm. you never look at it again, but you know, you're supporting your buddy, or, you know, in this case, this guy's music endeavor, you know, it's cool, man. You know, I was thinking, it's really, as I was getting, I went into the Token Smart Lounge to grab a link to bring over to the Maker's Place build last week. And it's really weird how, like, you form memories in, like, the virtual environment, right? I'm like, you know, you walk into the empty lounge or you walk into the empty amphitheater and, like, so much, like, exciting shit has taken place in both of these places, which is obviously just, like, a browser-based tab, but at the same time I have like very vivid like long-term memories in these places. I don't know, man, that's sort of like a tangent, but it was a very odd realization.
Yeah, well, that goes back to the social aspect. We've talked about that a lot, where you get to know all these people and stuff. So like, I like the Cinco's one. Yeah, because it was, you're getting away from the scarcity, like what gives this stuff value, you know? Because I remember Bitcoin maximalists always talking about that, you know. It's like, what makes it value? Well, they can only be this many ever. And I'm like, well, that's great. What else have you got? You know, it's like when you have an interesting community member who's a good artist to begin with, you know, and also has a great idea, and then puts out a bunch and then prices them low enough that, you know, everybody can get in, and then makes it more of an event. Like, now we're all part of this growing thing. It's not just watching a bunch of rich people throwing their money around, right, and flexing. It's, we're all part of this.
Yeah, the social aspect is really funny, right? I mean, first you recognize the names, and then you recognize the avatars, then you recognize the spaces, then the neighborhoods and districts. And I mean, fast forward like a year or so, like as we do more of these events and we hop around Origin City more, we go to the islands, like we do more field trips, like we start to really recognize these places, especially like the maps get a little bit clearer, like we know where we are. Like, that is such a, it's when you realize that, when you kind of remember those memories, you recognize these places, like, oh shit, I remember Johan's, like, we had an epic game at this Mario Kart place. But like, those memories will stay there as long as they don't drastically change their builds, which is always like a possibility. But the forming of memories and associations is just as powerful in these virtual spaces as it is in real life. And it's just amazing how accessible all of those memories can be. Like, you can just teleport to them real quick. It's not like you have to get on a plane to go back to like that old childhood memory that you experience when you're like 7 years old. It's like, okay, tab open, boom, there. And maybe you go to a place like Connie Digital's, where he has like your signature like inscribed on the wall, like from way back, and you can see actually like a mark that you left in the world. So I think those things are definitely coming, and it's super powerful.
You know, it gets interesting because as we grow and there's more people coming to the ecosystem, keeping that intact is going to be the real task. Because I feel like that's what keeps us focused, and I would hate to lose that. But if we were, say, 10,000 more people came in tomorrow, it might be really hard to keep that.
These will be like the glory days, man. We'll like look back on this when I was just talking with Jim about this before we were meeting, and he was like, it really just feels like we're all like sitting on top of a volcano that's about to just erupt like any minute now, any day now. And I feel like that feeling is so palpable, like across so many people, and is only like continuing to grow and everything. And along the same lines as what you guys were just talking about, like being like, I guess I can call myself an OG, right? We can call ourselves OGs in this like Crypto Voxels virtual event space. And, you know, now at this point, everyone who comes in with a wearable, you almost know like where it came from. You're like, oh yeah, that came from that event like 6 months ago, or, you know, oh shit, you got that shirt at like Cinkos's thing. And it's so cool to like, I don't know if it's cool, man. Maybe it's like super nerdy. It probably depends on who you're explaining it to. But I don't know. I was just cracking up last week. I don't even know where I was, but you know, Frankie Needles has like this like boot like problem or something. Yes. I don't know what the fuck he is, but now like wherever he goes, fucking boot is swinging around. I could see him coming around the corner. I saw him like boot first coming around the corner. And I don't know, man. Shit like that just like makes my day. It's like so fucking funny. And it is that like community thing that is, you know, I like to think that no matter how big the space grows, like the us, meaning like everyone really who's in the community now, like showing up to these whips and like, you know, having a good time with these things, will remain like intact, just, you know, will be in, you know, one of many groups or clans that, you know, are associated with each other in space.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the whole thing with Scent, right? Like last year, it was super, super, super small, and there was the whole clique of us, and then everyone kind of just cross-pollinated to all these different marketplaces and projects, and like new people, new members came in and added more diversity, like of thought, of personality, of style, of everything. And we're in this like really interesting, bubbling cauldron of experimentation and excitement right now in a different context in VR. And I feel like a very similar thing is going to happen. Like, I love the metaphor of a volcano just blowing up and spewing like molten lava, like cool hot shit all over the place. I mean, that will just crystallize and form like new clusters of awesome culture that'll just cool mingle and cross pollinate with one another. And we'll just see the same thing over and over. And I feel like that diversity is just going to be dope. And it's our job, like as OGs, to keep continually identifying all the cool shit that bubbles up first, put them on that whip stage. Hopefully at that point, there'll be multiple whips, and just make the whole thing burn quicker, longer. So that more people see the light over here and start coming in, and just keep repeating that cycle.
That's really cool. I know I've definitely seen a couple new members. It's cool because it's now, I don't know, I feel sometimes the people who have been doing it for a while, you know, you get into that, I forgot the name of it. There's an actual term in growth vectors where it's like you've got your dip, you've tunnel of, you know, disinterest, or like things got difficult and then people drop and then it starts growing again as things improve. And now we're at the point where some of these user interfaces and the way to get in are much less technical. You know, it's a lot more friendly to people who don't like have a degree in it. So I'm starting to see a lot, you know, some new people come into the community, and then when they do, they find this stuff and they're like, you can tell they're like a kid in a candy store, you know, or they just open up their first Christmas present and they're, you know, oh my God, I didn't know this was available to me. You know, it's like, and then they just go all over the place. They create something new nobody's seen before. And it's like, wow, this is really cool. And you can tell this guy's feeling empowered and super excited. And then he gets everybody else excited too, that, right, got bored.
The demand is real, man. Matthew, tell him getting my ass up in the middle of the night for, man.
Asia Pacific Whip is coming first week of August. We have our first two speaker lineups set. Now we're just working on solidifying who will be the Chippy Yogi of Asia, essentially. There's two people I'm in talks with. I'll keep their names under wraps until we finalize on one. And we're working on some post-event shows to keep the kids and adults excited and happy when they come to the Asia Pacific Whip. Really excited. It's going to be a lot of cross-metaverse field trip-based events. Obviously, just like every single whip now is different. Every single whip over here is going to be different, different vibe, different format, testing out different things. So very, very excited for that. But we have some cool speakers from China, from Singapore, from India, Australia, some familiar names, some brand new names. I'll wait until next week to start teasing that out. But planning this has been an absolute pleasure. And like I said, a few details left to settle, but it's going to be really, really interesting. And super stoked that my dude Rizzle is going to get his ass up in the middle of the night, come over to Asia time and do this Asia Pacific whip with me.
How could I say no, man? As soon as you asked me, I'm like, there's no way I'm getting out of this one, right? Matthew's been waking up in the middle of the night for me for, to do shit together for, a year now. So I'm going to do it. And dude, honestly, the whip is my favorite part of the week. Totally down to do it, man. I love this shit. And yeah, it's going to be cool, man. I didn't realize we had the speaker lineups full already. Can we give people a heads up on what to expect this coming week? Obviously, we got the non-fungibles. I teased out a picture of their... Dude, fucking Luke is so funny, man. Luke has like really high ambitions for this, like whatever you want to call it. It's like a part scavenger hunt, part like obstacle course, part like thing. And it like really wants to get like extremely intricate, and good for him, man. I mean, I feel like he's like right there with me. He like clearly loves planning this stuff and like working out the details and trying to like scale it back just a little bit, so it's a little bit more like accessible and easy to understand for everybody. And so Luke doesn't have to stand there for like 45 minutes and explain all the rules to everybody. Cause it was originally like, you had to find a password and then like download this thing to like unlock this other thing. And like, it was like a million moving parts. But saying all that to say, the non-fungibles are stoked and their excitement is contagious. And this whole thing is going to be ridiculously fun. And we got some killer speakers lined up as well.
Yeah, I mean, we have Alan Carr from Dapper Labs and NBA Top Shot, who will be giving an update on the latter. So I'm excited to hear that. We have Brian from So Rare, which is that fantasy soccer card game. So like that's been doing hundreds of thousands of dollars in volume week in, week out. He'll be talking about that project. I'm really excited to hear that. I've seen the numbers pop up, especially in the last like 3 to 4 weeks, started to get involved in that, and just excited to hear what plans they have for that heading forward. Of course, George and Luke are going to be talking about the epic events that they have planned, the seriously awesome game course, like what you mentioned, like that like absolutely bonkers scavenger hunt,
the gerbil monstrosity or whatever,
and the basket of NFTs that they're going to be giving away with that, which the basket itself is nuts. We'll save that for the actual event. And then Sparrow has her monthly like rundown of like the hundreds of things that she's involved in, distilling the best of that for the folks involved in the whip. So huge media event. I'm really excited. We have a huge parcel to work with in the non-fungibles HQ before we transition to the game. Oh, and then Axie Infinity is project sponsor this week. So we'll have some cool Axie, at least posters up along the way promoting that awesome project too. So I'm really looking forward to everything going on this week.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a fun one for sure. It's just same thing. Everyone is like a little bit different. These are my personally most exciting ones. The auctions are super fun and everything, but like once we get into like the gamified things and everything, and I don't know, maybe it's just Luke is like blowing my shit up all weekend talking like game strategy and everything. I'm like, these guys are serious. But I love that, man. That it's so cool. Awesome, y'all. Busy weekend coming up with this one, and the Mark Render one was awesome. Matthew and I were checking out his he's got what, Point Shark and a lot of, was it a lot of money? It was Point Shark and a lot of money who have done his build, right?
That's right.
And he's down to gamify his thing as well. So we'll leave the details as mystery for the moment, but that'll be another fun one. So Trizzle, you getting up with us, man, in the middle of the night? You gonna shoot some videotape on the Asia Pacific whip?
I don't know. I might have to. Sounds it. God. Yep. The schedule's nice. Filling up fast, but man, it's funny. Everything moves so damn fast. You don't really want to miss it, but
We'll take that as a yes, man. We'll confirm you on air and let you do that.
Too late. I'm already there. Yep.
Anyone on the whip crew who we haven't squeezed the life out of totally at this point is also welcome to wake up in the middle of the night with us. Otherwise, we're going to find Asia Pacific versions of people to give our awesome whip crew on this coast a breather, a well-deserved breather. They're awesome, man, right? I mean, you can't really even say enough about like all the people in our corner. They're like, you know, we're throwing some whale coin at them, but they're like essentially volunteers doing this shit because they believe in the vision and viability of this project and everything. And it's so cool to have people like that in your corner who you could just like hit up and be like, yo, man, we need some videotape. We need some, you know, down to DJ this thing. You know, time and time again, they've come through for us. It's just a ramble about the whip crew. Love those guys.
Plus one.
Good for this week. We miss anything? Anyone got to get shout out? Easy will be hosting the listening party this evening, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So what's up, everybody who's listening to us?
You know, I actually got a good shout out that was separate. He goes by the name of Clark Kent on Twitter and everything. He's actually Jose Dobo's grandson, apparently.
Yeah.
I noticed he was running all over the place, and he was talking in some different WhatsApp groups I'm in and stuff, and he was promoting it a lot and thanking everybody and saying his grandfather was really into it. I don't know if he's the one who sort of pushed that, but shout out to him for, you know, everything that it looks like he did in the background.
Yeah, shout out his name too. Like, I'd seen him running around before, but I hadn't made the connection until like I was talking to Maker's Place, and I think folks over at DCL, and they mentioned Clark Kent being the grandson. I'm like, of course, like, why would, of course that is why he picked his name.
Right.
Yeah, so he definitely did a lot of work on the DCL front. The event over there is pretty cool. Wish it would have been more connected, but what are you gonna do? Early days. My shout out is going to be for Rizzo and my episode with Non-Fungibles. We're going to be pushing that out this week, just to, as another way to prime folks for Thursday's whip with Non-Fungibles. So look out for that drop.
That was a fun episode. This guy's
super, super fun.
Lots of gerbil talk in that episode. We dive deep in gerbil nomenclature and philosophy. Nice. This is actually really, really fun.
They've got pun list already. Perfect.
Say it again, man.
Their pun list already. Perfect.
Yeah. You'll have to listen, man. They are serious. I asked them, we got into like their philosophy behind why they chose like the gerbil and like how they picked the names and everything. And it's hilarious. They're like process behind this whole thing, and it sounds like they got hundreds of names on queue just if they need them for like any specific event or whatever. They've like pretty much gerbilfied everything you can imagine. Again, man, one of these things that like to me is like so cool, and then like I, you know, catch myself talking about this sometimes. I'm like, maybe this is not as cool to outsiders. I don't know, man. This shit is dope.
It is a little nerdy, but it's fun too. That's all right. We're it all friends fun. Here.
Yeah, we could be cool and nerd out together at the same time, right? All right, you guys, great to catch up as always, and we'll do it again next week.
Awesome.
Later, boys.
All right. Later, y'all.